Hi, I'm Lori Brewer Collins. I'm founder of Cultivate the Carass, which is an organization that was created to honor my son after his passing in September of 2015. And our overall mission is to reduce hyperpartisanship, just to really enhance civil discourse.
I'm Cameron Smith, Vice President and General Counsel at a think tank here in D.C. called the R Street Institute.
Hello, I'm Maria Town. I'm the Director of the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities in the City of Houston.
I'm Matthew McAllister. I am the Smart City Project Manager for the City of Denver. Previously served in the Office of the U.S. Chief Technology Officer with Lori's son, Jake.
So my son, Jake Brewer, worked for the Obama administration. He was a senior advisor for the Office of Science and Technology Policy. And he was there 15 weeks. Then on September 15th, 2015, he was killed in a cycling accident. He was cycling for a charity event and doing something that he truly loved. But it was a real shatter for certainly for me and all of his friends and family. The Wednesday after we lost Jake, we were invited to the White House. They took me to his office, and there on his White House monitor was this yellow sticky note that said, "Cultivate the Carass." And it was sort of, what's a carass? Is this the title of a book? I mean, what is this? And so Matthew was actually right there next to me. And so he looked it up. And it turns out that carass is a word that was created by Kurt Vonnegut, the novelist. And it means people who are connected in cosmically significant ways, but don't know it, all doing the work of God. And it just felt like a baton had been handed from Jake to me to carry on his legacy. He was known within OSTP. He worked directly for the Chief Technology Officer, and he was known for breaking through for projects that had gotten irreconcilably stuck. And he had this way of bringing groups together and getting them to engage and breaking through. And so I started to meet with people that represented these different groups that he had been a part of. And so from that, with this post-it note and just getting access to all of these amazing people, that's where the idea of creating an organization called Cultivate the Carass, that we just keep this going, really came from. And so CTK.campfire is what has been created out of that thinking. And its intent and what we've done is we bring together Republicans and Democrats from real diverse backgrounds, as diverse as we can possibly get, in order to bring people who would not otherwise be in the same room together and really let people get to know each other before we ever talk about issues. So it's about relationship building. It's about the long view. It's Jake was 34 when he died. And so I target people who are in that place in their careers where they're proven leaders, but they've also got a long runway. So people who will be influencing policy and the agenda over the next 20 years. So with a long view. And I've purposely kept it from people who are super, I'm gonna use radical or fanatic. Like if you're so to the left or so to the right that you cannot participate in a reasonable conversation, you are not invited. So it's people who have the maturity and are evolved enough inside that you can both have a strong point of view but also hold the strong points of view of other people. And the idea isn't to convince or persuade or to get somebody to think like you do. The idea is to expand what you understand about anything, about an issue, so that your own problem-solving capacity has been expanded as well. So you now have more data points to choose from when you go to try and find a solution. And so finding that solution with people outside of your bubble is going to be increasingly important as we get more and more complex in the things that we handle and that we deal with.
The thing that even before showing up at Campfire I was thinking about was the fact that I had just spent 5 years in D.C. and had not proactively on my own time sought out people who had a fundamentally different viewpoint than I had. And in this town in particular, that was a huge missed opportunity is what I was realizing. And so that's why I went into the Campfire experience really excited and eager to be challenged in a different way that I hadn't been before. You know, we're always surrounded by smart people when we're working in this town, and we feel intellectually stimulated all the time, but we're not being stimulated in a way that's like challenging how we're even approaching the problem in the first place. So I was excited for that part. I don't remember exactly my first interaction with Cameron. I think our longest exchange, though, was around a campfire, actually, that evening, and went deep into a couple of different topics and issues, and, like, by the end of the evening had been, like, talking about, like, the integrity of our elections and how could we work on how that's financed and gerrymandering and a whole range of issues around elections that we brought up the next day to the group and emailed and exchanged and talked about for the weeks afterwards and stuff.
Part of what happened over the course of those 3 days in the middle of nowhere in Maryland with no cell service is that we all learned to trust each other. And had we come in with a list of names and bios and titles, right? That trust would have been a lot harder to create over such a short period of time.
So this is Cameron. Showing up in the middle of the woods, it's kind of funny now, but we started off the meeting sitting in a circle. Republicans do not sit in circles. This is not a thing that we do. And so I was terrified. I was like, what is happening? Are we going to do a ritual, something? This is scary. And but what was interesting is those of us who were sort of on the political right were totally lost. We were like, what is going on? Those folks that were more on the left in terms of general alignment, they kind of got it. And so I immediately realized, wow, we are actually on different planets. It's not just a matter of bubbles. It's we don't use the same words. We don't have the same social and professional practices. We have segregated ourselves along any number of different lines in ways that are devastating. They affirm us, they make us feel good, we feel comfortable and safe, but it doesn't in any way allow us to grow. Nobody knew that I was an attorney for former Senator Sessions, now the Attorney General, and I said this in the room, and there was a gasp, like a, like this sort of like, we liked you. We got to know you first, but now we know, are you going to like kill us now? Are you going to like, you know, not like, and I understood that for the first time. I really, the one thing that CTK really did for me, probably above other things, is it made it okay for me to think about things conservative types aren't supposed to think about. Race being a very good example. In my family, growing up in the South, living in the South, this is a prevalent issue. I saw it in my own family. Particularly with some of the older members of my family who grew up in a very different time in America. And I've seen fear. I think fear drives most of this. It's the fear of being alone, of being cast aside, and it transcends a lot of ideology. And I was seeing in my family, what I've seen with my own family is the ability to talk through some of these things and just mention them, ask them about their experience, about the why, and to find those common, I guess, pain points where people are afraid. And a lot of it is things are changing, the world's changing. I don't know my place. I don't know if I have a place. And so I have to have an other. I have to have somebody out there who's the bad person that's changing my world, because otherwise it just means that I'm being cast aside. And that's a terrible conclusion for people to reach. And one of the things that I've seen is you have to tell them, hey, I love you.
What we've been talking about at Cultivate the Caress, we've got a phrase for it. We call it becoming a loyal antagonist. And the idea is that you invite people into your world, into your life, who will both challenge you but also support you, who's there to really get to know you on every level. It doesn't mean agreement. It means somebody that I can count on to make sure I'm thinking about things as sharply and as critically and as rationally as possible, and to bring in points of view that I wouldn't otherwise have access to. So what we're trying to do is to create a whole body of loyal antagonists.
Yeah, what changed for me coming out of campfire, we did an exercise while we were there, the spectrum exercise, where it's stand on one side of the room if you believe X, and another side of the room if you believe Y, and you're allowed to be in the middle. So you end up with this whole range of people standing along a line. While we were there, one of the hot button issues in the news was Confederate monuments. So one side of the room was let's grab a rope and an axe and take them down right now. And the other side of the room was remain in place or some type of retention.
I think it was a week after Charlottesville.
Yeah. And so we're in the middle of this conversation. And folks are all over the spectrum on this. And a couple of the points that were made, particularly by my colleagues on the right in that discussion, really opened up a different part of the conversation for me. Because I had gone into that weekend with a Twitter feed that was full of folks that were ready to grab the rope and tear these things down. So Cameron made an excellent point of, like, if there's a monument on someone's walk to work one day and it's gone the next day, and you haven't engaged them at all in a dialogue about what was wrong with its presence on that sidewalk or on your way to work, you didn't even, like, engage any of the mental faculties that you were trying to in terms of, like, here's the political discussion, why it's relevant to our community, and using the institutions of our government in place and having that debate in a town hall and having to vote on it and having to have that discussion is actually where the value is in some of these things. So if we're going to take down certain monuments, let's force folks to reconcile with the reasoning behind it.
There's real intention of not having people see who's going to be coming. Because as somebody, I come out of the corporate world, and so every event, it's like, check out the list and determine in advance who you want to connect with and network with and who you would need to avoid. And you just, without even realizing, you've just already made your judgment about who's worthy to connect with, who's not, who's somebody, who's got the right title, etc. So we very intentionally don't tell you who's coming. I don't give you an agenda. And you come together, and it isn't until a day and a half has gone by that we take time to say, here's what I actually do. And so the idea is that you get to know who each other is first as human beings before we ever talk about your professional background, your backdrop, or anything, any of the issues. So what we try to do is just really allow for a container. It's really a Kusha rule, where relationships can be formed, and it isn't until they're formed that then we turn on the heat. And now we can talk about the issues, and I think that's what makes Cultivate the Carass distinct. Eventually, the vision is that people will be in elected positions or people of policy influence who have been through a CTK experience, a CTK that campfire experience, that if I know you went through CTK, that I know that you're going to get to know who I am first before you start drawing all these conclusions.